Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it as we move forward in the Word of God. And the Word of God is a great word this morning. I am thankful. I am grateful. I am truly blessed to be with you today. Whew, clothed in my right mind and feeling good. Feeling very good. I had to have a medical procedure on yesterday. And so just wasn't sure how I would be feeling on today, but God is good. And I shout out to the wonderful nurses and women of God that I had on yesterday. Whew, prayer changes things. So thank you, prayer warriors, for your prayers, for God heard them, answered them, and your host is back with you this morning. Feeling good. Hallelujah. Feeling real good and thankful. Very thankful. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice in it, Lord God, for you are good and greatly to be praised. Lord God, I lift up the name of Jesus this morning, asking you to cover each and every one of us with his blood from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Lord God, let this word not be on deaf ears. For Lord, all things are your word. All this basic instruction before leaving earth is divinely appointed and anointed by you. Father God, let those that hear understand, and those that seek find you. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I ask you to lift, to hide me, hallelujah, in the cliff of the rock. Lord God, help me to decrease as you increase. And let this word fill hearts, minds, and spirits. In Jesus' name, Lord, I look up, lift up, giving you honor, giving you praise. For you are my Father and you are glorious. And I thank you this morning for waking me up and giving me another day. And I pray, Lord, that all will go well in my appointment this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We are a little early today because I have an appointment this morning at 8 o'clock. And so I need to be finished by 7:30, my time. So I do thank you all for joining me early. And for those that are like, what is going on? It is just because I have to be someplace earlier today. So thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And I lift up his name to each and every one of you. So giving God honor, glory, and praise. I am just grateful. I am just grateful. Oh, I'm just grateful. I keep saying it over and over. I'm just grateful because I am. Thanking God for his glory and mercy. But we're going to get in our word this morning because I don't want to miss anything. This is a good word, and we all know it because we read it in Kings, but now we have it in Chronicles. And what you will find is many of what we are reading in Chronicles are words that we've already read in Kings. So we're talking again about King Josaphat and Ahab, and it is good. That's all I can say. It is real good. So let's get started. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, and we'll be going chapter 13 through chapter 18. So 13 to 18 in 2 Chronicles we'll be reading today. And if time permits, we will have Psalms and Proverbs if we can. If not, Psalms and Proverbs will be added to Sunday's Word, which will be in the New Testament. So for those that are just joining us, on Fridays and Sundays, we do it a little different. On Friday or Sunday, it'll be an Old Testament or a New Testament word. And the reason being is I do not broadcast on Saturdays. So we do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on Friday and Sunday. So we'll do the New Testament Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or the Old Testament Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's word on either Friday or Sunday. So today we're doing the Old Testament word, and then on Sunday we will do the New Testament word for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that's how we do it. I know it's a little different. If you have the Bible, you'll be like, wait a minute. And that's correct. So you will be getting 3 days a word, I guess to say, this morning and on Sunday. So thank you so much, and let's for real. And it says this, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Michal, the daughter of Uriah of Geba. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set the battle in order with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty men of valor. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zermaram, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, hear me, O Jeroboam, and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever to him and his sons by a covenant of salt? Yes, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David. And you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as gods. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the peoples of other lands? So that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of things that are not gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening, for we keep the command of the Lord our God. But you have forsaken him. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priest with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them, so they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. And they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah, and the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with his villages, Jeshaniah with his villages, and Ephraim with his villages. So Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah grew mighty, married 14 wives, and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. Now, the rest of the acts of Abijah was his ways and his sayings are written in the annals of the prophet Iddo. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places and broke down those sacred shrines and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the command. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. And the kingdom was quiet under him, and he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows, and all these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Mereshai. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathi at Meresh. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you. In your name we go against the multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gera. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very, very much spoil, that they defeated all the cities around Gera. For the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. When we cry out to the Lord God, you better understand, he hears our cries. God hears us. He knows our struggles. He knows what we're going through. And he knows that when we call on his name, he is there for us and with us. And the word that God gave me today was this: cry out to the Lord and he will help you. Cry out to the Lord and he will help you. Did he not just help Asa? Did he not help his father, Abijah? God hears our cries and he helps us. And the life lesson for this word is 2 Chronicles 13 and 18. The children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. The people of Judah prevailed despite clever military tactics by the enemy. Why? Only one reason. They relied on the Lord. As children of sovereign God,
We are never victims of our circumstances. No one who opposes the Lord and his kingdom will ultimately prevail. God rules over all, and he knows how to deliver his people. Can I say that again? God rules over all, and he knows how to deliver his people. And as we go into 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. It is impossible to obey God without first seeking him. We must seek him first appropriately, appreciate his strength, and then obey his commands by the power of his spirit. Again, Dr. Stanley is saying, it is impossible to obey God without first seeking him. We must seek him first, appreciate his strength, and then obey his commands by the power of his spirit. We can do nothing without God. Not a thing, not even waking up in the morning can you do without God. Because it is God who wakes us up in the morning. It is God who starts us on our way. It is God who gives us strength in our body. It is God that gives us a clear mind and a righteous spirit. Hallelujah. And 2 Chronicles 14:11, Lord, it is nothing but you to help. What looks daunting and even impossible to us is precisely nothing to the Lord. When we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. And I say today, we win. We will win this battle. Whatever your battle is, when you give it to the Lord, you will win. I am giving my battles to the Lord. I thank God today, not my strength, not my power, but his power, his strength, his glory. God will get the glory out of everything we do. All we have to do is trust in him. I give myself away, Lord. Use me, for you are my present help. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited this morning. This is a great word today. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil over all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them from every adversary. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Ooh, I'm going to read that again, verse number 7. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak. And do not let your hands be weak. Can y'all hear that? For your work shall be rewarded. When we say it's time to go to work, we work for God. And I tell you this, your work shall be rewarded. And as we continue, it says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim to Manasseh and Simeon, for they came over to him in great number from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls, 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought, Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God in of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Also, he removed Micaiah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook of Kedron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And a life lesson from chapter 15 is this. When in their troubles they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And Dr. Stanley says, no matter our background, regardless of our personal histories, despite the terrible things we may have done, God invites us and urges us to repent and turn to him. When we seek him, we will find him. But we have to repent. Lord, I ask forgiveness for anything that I may have done in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for you, O God, to take control of all things that deal with me, for I am your daughter and you are my father. We got to give it to God and leave it there, for there is none like him. There is no God like our God. There is no daddy like our daddy. There is no friend better than our friend. There is no one better than our brother, who is in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. But he loved us enough to give his life for us. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. But again, you got to seek the Lord and call on him, and he will help you. Chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and to the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ajon, Dan, Abel, Mem, and all the store cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has from your hand, were the Egyptians and the living not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro there throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have war. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the Acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his melody was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ornament. They made a very great burning for him. And some life lessons from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Understand, we can't depend on man. We got to depend on God. Now, if God sends you to a physician, that's one thing. But if God does not say go, then don't go. If God said does not say do, don't do. That when he said go, I went. Because I was planning on not going. And then God gave me dates and times, and he said everything is going to be all right. And I'm believing God that everything will be all right. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 16 and 7. You have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God. Asa's political solution worked in the short term to remove a threat, but it backfired in the long run. Trusting God is a day-to-day, moment-by-moment pursuit. We must trust the Lord today, every day. So, and that's what we got to do. We got to trust God. So many times we want to trust everybody but God. We want to do everything but what God says to do. You know, we can't trust in man. We got to trust in God. Cry out to the Lord and he will help you. That's a word for this morning. Cry out to the Lord and he will help you. I know there are many of us that have seen it. We have seen him work. We have seen him do great things. We have seen God come through. I know I have. I have seen him come through so many times in my life that I can't even count them all. Some big, some small, some real huge. God has come through. And I'm trusting God today that all things are working for my good because I'm putting my trust in him. I'm going to have that Ephesians word in my heart every day, thanking God for his grace and for his mercy. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 through chapter 18. It says, then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-El, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, Micaiah, in the cities of Judah. And with them, he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asael, Shemarathmoth, Jonathan, Adonijah, and the Levites, and with them Ishmael, Jeram, the priest. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute. And the Arabians brought in flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and strong cities in Judah. He had much property in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. These are their numbers according to their fathers' houses of Judah. The captains of thousands, Adna, the captain, and with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. And next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amasai, the son of Zechariah, who willingly offered himself to the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin, Eladiah, a mighty man of valor, and with him 200,000 men armed with bow and shield. And next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king beside those the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Judah. Jehoshaphat one plan, and he had mighty men of valor that stood up, that trusted, that believed in God, and did what thus says the Lord. Chapter 18. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Oh, goodness. We all know who Ahab was. And let's keep going. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Because understand, Jehoshaphat, he wasn't going into anybody's war without God. Well, we all know Ahab was a hot mess. Him and his wife Jezebel, hot messes. And now this is the king. You know, because he said, "Oh, I ain't going without God." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord?" Come on now, here, "that we may inquire of him." Because he knew all these false prophets. These prophet liars was all around him. These folks not chosen by God, not Levites, didn't have nothing to do with his God. And he's like, no, I'm not listening to these dudes. 400 of them. He's like, no, not today. And we have that not a moment, not going to happen. Where's the one sent by the Lord? Come on now. I love it. But Joseph said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of him?" So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, "Bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before him. Now Zedekiah, the son of Shenaniah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the king will deliver the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. So the king was liking them prophet lies because they were saying just what he wanted to hear. Then the messenger who had called to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen. The words of the prophet with one accord encouraged the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And he said, "Go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand." So the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.'" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me?" Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up, and that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' So one spoke in the manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' The Lord said to him, 'In what way?' So he said, 'I will go out and be a lion spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And the Lord said, 'You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so.' Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lion spirit," prophet liars, y'all, "a lion spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you." Then Zedekiah, the son of Shenaniah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide." Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction till I return in peace.' But Micaiah said, 'If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Take heed, all you people.'" So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, "Fight with no one, small or great, but only with the king of Israel." So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, Is it the king of Israel? Therefore they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. That's our title for this morning. When we cry out to the Lord, he helps us. Hallelujah. We must cry out to the Lord for whence our help comes from. As the word says, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And again, he cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. For so it was when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded." The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening, and about of sunset, he died. Wow. And let's get a couple of life lessons from this word. And the first is our title this morning. Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And our word, when we cry out to the Lord, he helps us. The Lord helped Jehoshaphat out of a tight spot. that he never should have been in. Why did godly King Jehoshaphat accompany Ahab to battle after hearing the prophecy of doom uttered by Micaiah? We don't know, but God in his grace spared him. God's grace covers a multitude of our sins, but we should never presume upon it. Hallelujah. We should never presume upon it, but we should ask God. And if it's God's will, he will help us. 2 Chronicles 18:33, a certain man drew bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Though the Bible says that this was a random action by some unknown man, that arrow had a divine appointment with the joints of Ahab's armor. God can do whatever he pleases in order to fulfill his plans, even using seemingly random events to further his will. And we're going to go real quick over to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8:28, and we may read a little bit around it because we want to make sure we have it in context. And the title of that word is From Suffering to Glory. And we're going to go back up to verse 25. And it says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning and which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with God, because he knows the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, that's one of my highlightables. And I say it again, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, I say it again, work together for good to those who love God. It doesn't say it works together for good. There's a caveat. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Hallelujah, what a word. I just had to go over there to that word. I love, that is one of my favorite words. Whew, that we all know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not my will, but your will, Lord God. And that's what we have to have in our spirit. Not my will, but your will, God. That's what we keep. We stand on the word of God in everything we do. Watch God work. Watch him work in your life, in your heart, in your spirit. God is good, and his mercy is enduring at all times. And we have some Psalms today, Psalms chapter 81. And it says to the chief musicians, on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of Asaph, sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the cymbal, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob, this he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. What a word. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. God fills us up with his word. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsel. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their faith would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I will have satisfied you. Hallelujah. I have just read Psalms chapter 81, verses 1 through 16. And all I can say is it has been a word this morning. Ah, I'm filled up, y'all. And our proverb word for today is this, Proverbs chapter 20, first starting at verse 22. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. Diverse ways are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. We cannot do evil for evil. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. We got to give our situation to God. Whatever your situation is, tell your situation about to God. Because God already knows what you're going through. And he will already have handled your problems today. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 24 to 25. A man's steps are the Lord's. And now, and how then can a man understand his own ways? Our steps are ordered by the Lord. It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards to reconsider his vows. Don't take vows that you cannot keep, because then it becomes an abomination. Don't say, Lord, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to, and I'm doing it. God sees it and he does not reward it. And this goes Proverbs 20, 26 to 28. A wise king shifts out the wicked and brings the thrashing wheel over them. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. Wow, what a word this morning. And I have some life lessons from Proverbs and Psalms. And from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22, it says, do not say, I will recompense evil and wait for the Lord and he will save you. Revenge isn't your responsibility. It's God. Though it's human to want to net out your own justice, it is not God's will for you to take matters into your own hands. Rather, allow God to avenge you. Even if you never see justice done on earth, you can be sure that God will accomplish what he promised you. And we're going to go real quick over to Luke chapter 18, verse 7, and Romans chapter 12, verse 19. And we're going to do Romans chapter 12, verse 19 first. And again, always within context, I'll read it. And it just says this. Repay no This is verse 17. It says, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Chapter 20, verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will keep coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a word. And we're going to go back to Luke chapter 18, verse 7. Again, in context, verse 6, starting in verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The question is, do we trust God to handle our problems? Or do we try to handle our problems ourselves? And I can tell you one thing. Every time I try to handle my problems myself, I made a bigger mess than what I already had. And I can tell you, I made a huge mess than what I already had trying to do it myself. So I tell you, trust in God and let God handle your problems. Psalms 81 and 10. It says, open your mouth wide and I will feel it. Here we see the heart of God to bless his people beyond their imagination. But we also see our part in the process to willingly receive what he has to offer. We give filled only when we obey his instructions. Did y'all hear that? We get filled only when we obey his instructions. He wants to work with us. He wants to help us. The question is, are we ready to receive the help of the Lord? Life lesson from Psalms 81 and 16. With honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. God loves to bless his people when they obey his commands. He wants us to understand that the good life comes to us only through him and not through any other means. Hallelujah. Understand that God is the principal deliverer of good things. We want to do it ourselves. Oh, I got this and I got that. We have nothing without God. And we need to stop and recognize that we are nothing without God. He loves us. He hears you. He hears your cries. He knows what you're going through. I can tell you, like I said, I can only speak for myself. But when I have cried out to the Lord, he has helped me. And I believe when you cry out to the Lord, he will help you. But the thing that common denominator is, you must cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord and watch God work in your life. Watch God work in everything that you got going on. God hears us. He sees us. He knows our situation. Hallelujah. 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 I can only speak for me. God hears you. He heard me. And I'm believing he still hears me. And that whatever I may go through, he's going to always be there for me. Trust in the Lord, family. With all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I promise you, he will direct your path. Trust God today. Trust God today. And I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself too. Trust God today. And I'm going to put my name in it. Bridget, trust God today. And this was my scripture, my verse for the day this morning. And it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. And it says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Again, we must cry out to the Lord, and he will hear us. And a word from our sister in Christ this morning, Sister Carolyn. Well, I thought there was a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And I don't have it yet because I'm a little earlier than normal. So we will have Sister Carolyn's word when we come back together Sunday. I will have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's word from Sister Carolyn when we come back together. But this is all I have this morning. I thank God for all of you coming in and joining me this morning. We're a little early today because I have a doctor's appointment. So I thank you all. I praise God for you, and I thank you from my whole heart for your prayers on yesterday. I thank you for your prayers today, and I thank God for hearing and answering my call and my cry. So I am thanking God, and I know that I will have a good report this morning. So I thank you all. I praise God with you. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior Christ Jesus, I pray in his name that God will continue watching over you and yours today and always. Have a blessed day, family. Have a wonderful weekend. And please join me for the Book of Acts on Sunday as we continue our study in the New Testament. Have a blessed day, family. And again, don't forget, cry out to the Lord, and he will help you. Have a great day. But start speaking positives over your life. Lord, I know that this will happen because you will be in charge. Start speaking life, and life is in the tongue. Let us speak life over ourselves and over others. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap.